Hey there, and welcome back to the Mini Weekend. I'm your host, Jack, and welcome to the 2023-2024 NHL season. Mini hockey is back. I guess college hockey has already started this last weekend, and for the women's 2 weekends ago, but the Wild will be getting underway here in a couple of days. Their first game, we've talked about a couple times already, will be on Thursday the 12th when they open the season, and home opener on the 12th against the Florida Panthers. But tomorrow night we have a 3-game slate on Tuesday the 10th to open up the season. The first game will be at 4:30 on ESPN and ESPN Plus. The Nashville Predators will take a trip to Tampa for the first game of the season. And then the second game of the night, Connor Bedard, the number one overall pick from this last draft, and the Chicago Blackhawks will take a trip to Pittsburgh Penguins. The 2000 and I think he was the 05 or 04 number one overall pick, in Sidney Crosby. So that should be a fun game. And then to cap off the night, the Seattle Kraken will be in Las Vegas to take on the Vegas Golden Knights as they raise their Stanley Cup banner. And that game will be at 9:30. So super excited. Doing this one by myself tonight. I'm sorry you guys have to listen to just myself talk. I know we had a guest do the preview, I think the last 2 years. We obviously have some fun stuff in the work. I think we're going to have a guest on next week or the following week. Still have to look at availability, but we should have some more people coming on and having some fun in the next couple of months here. So, yeah, very similar to, you know, what we've done in the past. We'll take a look at some of the storylines for this upcoming season, kind of, you know, what we're looking forward to. We'll talk a little bit about the NHL and the league as a whole, predictions where we think each team is going to end up, and then we'll, you know, get a little bit into the Minnesota Wild and give you guys some bold predictions and fun stuff like that. So I think I speak for a lot of people when I kind of came up with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 storylines that kind of interest me. And I think the first two, I think a lot of people are thinking, number one, can the Vegas Golden Knights repeat? I think it goes without saying, you know, the number one storyline for every single season is whoever wins the past championship, you know, can they repeat? I think when you look at the Vegas Golden Knights, it's been a crazy 6 seasons. It's been when they made the stunning run to the Cup final in their inaugural 17-18 season, and starting a stretch of 4 consecutive playoffs appearances. Then after making the postseason for the first time in 2022, despite posting 94 points, they reached the mountaintop last season, beating the Florida Panthers in 5 games. To capture the Stanley Cup. It's worth noting there are only 8 NHL franchises that have won consecutive Stanley Cups in the modern era since the 43-44 season, with the Lightning being the last to do so in 2020 and 2021, while the Golden Knights parted ways with the original misfit, if you will, Riley Smith, in a cost-cutting offseason move. They're returning most of the team that's certainly capable of repeating. It'll just be a matter of if they can do it or not. And then, obviously, I think I speak for a lot of people when I say the only other storyline that's pretty that pretty much everybody is thinking about other than the Golden Knights is just how good is Connor Bedard going to be right away. He's about to embark on possibly the most anticipated NHL rookie season since, you know, Connor McDavid, guys like him, and Sidney Crosby. The 18-year-old was a consensus number one pick after racking up 271 points that featured 131 goals over 134 games in the WHL. Bedard's always been drawing comparisons to Connor McDavid, but will he hit the ground running in similar fashion? McDavid posted 48 points in 45 games as a rookie and captured the first Hart Trophy by year two. Could a similar metric rise be in store for the Blackhawks rookie center? Who knows? We're going to have to wait and see. The third one, what about will Connor McDavid add another MVP or, God forbid, a Stanley Cup? This is obviously far from a hot take, but Connor McDavid's extremely, very good at hockey. The captain has led the NHL in points and has been a top two Hart Trophy finisher in each of the last three seasons. He was a near unanimous winner in 22-23 after recording a staggering 153 points, the most by a player since Mario Lemieux in the 95-96 season. He's 27 years old now, the three-time MVP is, and with one more Hart Trophy, he would tie the Eddie Shore, I believe, is his name, for the third most ever, which seems like a very attainable feat. After that, the question would become whether McDavid can challenge Gordie Howe's 6 or even Wayne Gretzky's 9. You know, once again, you know, you talk about the Hart, the MVP for him, your versus Stanley Cup. I think, you know, the MVP is very attainable, and, you know, he probably will get it. excuse me, but the current best hockey player in the world is still seeking his first, not only his first Stanley Cup, but his first Stanley Cup final appearance. And with him and Draisaitl leading the way, the Oilers remain right up there with the top contenders in the Western Conference, obviously along with Vegas and the Avalanche. So, you know, the big question for them will be, will Edmonton finally break through? And then the last two that I kind of came up with is which team is Patrick Kane ultimately going to join? There's no question he's one of the NHL's biggest stars still, and he enters this upcoming season still as a free agent who is turning 35 in November. And still remains on the open market after undergoing hip resurfacing surgery on June 1st. It sounds like, I didn't realize this, but it sounds like he wasn't expected to sign with the new team until after the actual season began. Though, as he's faced a recovery timetable of 4 to 6 months, it'll be interesting to see what teams do. After spending his first 15 plus years with the Blackhawks, he was dealt to the New York Rangers ahead of last season's trade deadline and recorded 5 goals and 7 assists over 19 regular season games with New York. And he also added 1 goal and 5 assists in 7 playoff games with them. But I think wherever he winds up, the 3-time Stanley Cup winner will make for quite in the season addition. It's people seem to think, you know, the Buffalo Sabres, the New York Rangers, and the New Jersey Devils tend to kind of be the top three for him as he comes towards the end of his career. He will more likely want to play a little closer to home, but hey. And then the last one is how close is Ovechkin going to get to Wayne Gretzky? 72 goals, people. That is what separates Alexander Ovechkin from tying Wayne Gretzky for the most goals in NHL history at 894. Ovi passed the great Gordie Howe for second amid a 42-goal season this last season, giving a career tally of 822. The Washington Capitals winger career mark for goals in a season is 65, and that came all the way back in the 7-8, 07-08 campaign. So It's safe to say he's not going to break the record this upcoming season, but it will be fun to watch just how big of a dent the 38-year-old goal scorer can put into the 72-goal gap that stands between him and the great one. So those are kind of some of the big storylines that we're looking forward to. Now I guess we can just kind of jump in to things and yeah, so for predictions, excuse me, so for the Pacific Division, I got the Oilers winning the Pacific Division. I got the Knights finishing in second. The LA Kings finishing second, the Golden Knights finishing third, and then I think this year we're going to see two teams from the Pacific Division make the wild card. I got the Kraken finishing fourth with the first wild card spot, the Flames fifth in the second wild card spot, and then the Canucks, followed by the Canucks at sixth, the Ducks at seventh, and the Sharks at eighth. All the talk is about how deep the Atlantic and Metropolitan divisions are, which we will get to. However, I think the Pacific Division presents a number of intriguing teams as well. It's crazy to think that the Oilers have not won a division with Connor McDavid and Draisaitl, but I think that's going to change this year. I think after trading for Pierre-Luc Dubois, the Kings have arguably the best center depth in the league with him, Kopitar, and Dunault. The Golden Knights, like we mentioned, are going to be the same team that won the Stanley Cup minus Riley Smith, but also with a healthy Logan Thompson, with Aiden Hill in goal. And I think the Kraken proved last year that the team is legit and will take another step forward this season. I think, you know, with Daryl Sutter out, I think we're going to see a rejuvenated Flames team. Losing Tyler Toffoli, yeah, it hurts, but between Elias Lindholm, Kadri, and Jonathan Huberto, there's going to be plenty of talent at the forward position. I think we're going to see as a result of that Calgary back there. And then the Canucks likely progress, I think, under a full year of their new coach, but the talent isn't there to compete. The Ducks rebuild is going to continue as they get their new head coach this year. And truthfully, the Sharks should already be playing for the number one pick this upcoming draft. The Central Division, I think I mentioned this last year too. I took the most time to do this. I think despite being top heavy, the Central is arguably, you know, the weakest division, as much as it pains me to admit, because for the longest period of time, there were, you know, 6-7 playoff teams that only 5 at the most could make. Yeah, like I said, the Central's, you know, kind of top heavy, followed by a couple question marks in the middle of the division, and then just meh. I got the Stars winning the division. I think we squeak into the number 2 spot, and I think the Avalanche get the 3rd spot. I think between number 1 and 3 last year, it was separated by 6 points. I think this year we see between 1 and 3 in the Central Division being separated by even less. So I think, you know, the last games, I think it's going to come down to the stretch once again. And I really think this year the Wild are going to, we're going to get to why I think this. But I think they're going to nab that 2 spot and be able to host a 7-game series against the Avalanche. In the playoffs. After adding Matt Duchene, the Stars, you know, arguably have the best top 9 forward group in the league. The Avalanche will still be without Gabriel Landeskog, but a healthier and determined team is expected in this 2023. For the Wild, the emergence of Philip Gustafson last year played a big part for us, and he should get full reins of the crease by the end of the season, which I think should help us. But honestly, this is kind of where we get to the bottom of it. You know, I think the Predators made some intriguing moves this offseason, most notably by letting go of Duchesne and Ryan Johansson while bringing in Ryan O'Reilly. But similarly to other teams, Nashville will only go as far as Husey Saros takes them. I don't trust the Jets enough, truthfully, mainly due to their pending free agents. If Winnipeg is sitting in the middle of the pack by the deadline and hasn't agreed to extension with Scheifele or Hellebuck, the two will likely be moved. Which brings bringing in Kevin Hayes is not going to be enough to make the Blues contenders. The same applies to the Blackhawks and the highly anticipated rookie season of Connor Bedard. And the Coyotes are no longer simply a retirement home. But I still expect them to finish at the bottom of the division. For the Metropolitan Division, I got the Devils winning that, Hurricanes in, 2, Rangers in 3, and then the Penguins, getting that, a wild card spot. Then behind them, the Islanders at 5, Capitals at 6, Blue Jackets at 7, and Flyers at 8. I kind of see this Metro Division kind of split up into 4 tiers. At the top, you have the Hurricanes, the Devils, Hurricanes and Devils. Carolina was dominant yet again last year, relying on depth and structure to win the division. And the same recipe will be in place this upcoming year. I think the Devils took a major step forward last season as Jack Hughes emerged as honestly a legit superstar. The goaltending still needs to be figured out, but I think there's no team more exciting than the Devils right now in this division. On their own is the Rangers, who I think will pull away from the Penguins, Islanders, Capitals cluster, but won't catch the Devils or Hurricanes. You know, once again, it'll be totally dependent on how far Shesterkin is going to take this team. Unfortunately, I see the Islanders, Penguins, and Capitals all in a similar spot last season. All three will contend for the playoffs, but only one is going to break through. I think Pittsburgh's move to land Erik Karlsson is nice on paper, but he is due to regress coming off of a career year. I think New York is going to be very reliant on Sorokin, and Washington has to bank on an older roster staying healthy, which is not going to fare well for them. And then wrapping up the division in the final tier will be the Blue Jackets and Flyers. Philadelphia will continue to be a competitive squad, but general manager Danny Briere should be selling this season. Which brings us to our last predictions here. I got the Atlantic Division. I got the Maple Leafs winning it. Panthers coming in second, the Sabres coming in third, and then the Bruins nabbing the wild card spot. Lightning at number 5, Senators at number 6, Red Wings at 7, and Canadiens at 8. Needless to say, I think the Atlantic Division is going to be chaotic this season. I think the 4 playoff teams from last year are all expected to be contenders again. Plus, the Senators, Sabres, and Red Wings are looking to break through their rebuilds. I think the Maple Leafs look to be the strongest out of the group, adding skill and sandpaper up front with Tyler Bertuzzi and Max Domi. The Panthers are going to roll up just about the same crew that made it to the finals last year. After their record-setting campaign, I think the Bruins are going to regress with or without Patrice Bergeron. But they still have a talented defensive group and great goaltending. As for the Lightning, I think the loss of Vasilevskiy to start the season is massive, who already have depth concerns at both forward and defensive positions. And I think we finally see the Bolts miss out on the postseason this year. And then truthfully, out of Detroit, Ottawa, and Buffalo, I'm only really sold on the Sabres. It's a team that has gotten better and better over the last 2 seasons. And I am, I still Had some questions about the Senators' blue line, and while the Red Wings will be competitive, I don't see them better than some of these other teams. About the only guarantee in this division is the Canadiens finishing last. Otherwise, I think it's kind of completely completely open. So that is what I think is going to happen in that is what I think is going to happen as far as standings are concerned. Yeah, super, super excited to kind of see this Wild team get underway. You know, they re-signed the likes of Zuccarello, Hartman, and some of those guys. You know, I think Kirill's going to continue to do his thing. I think this team is going to be good this year. I think there's a chance we could take a step closer to winning the Central Division. I don't think winning the Central Division is, I don't think it's out of the question for us. I really don't. But yeah, similar to kind of the storylines, I did come up with for you guys five predictions for this upcoming season. So the first one is I think Brock Faber is going to flourish on second pair D in his rookie season. He made a statement with the Wild after his arrival last year from the Gophers, but it wasn't really all that surprising for those who watched him defend some of the best college players in the country. Faber finished as a plus 29, recorded 4 goals and 27 points in 38 games for the Gophers his senior season. Faber turned 21 on August 22nd this summer, and he didn't miss a beat after drawing in the Wild's lineup at the end of last season. He seamlessly fit into the lineup with his smooth skating ability and defensive acumen. And that's especially true with his Jonas Brodin-esque stick defending. I think the right shot defenseman played in 2 regular season contests and made 6 postseason appearances last year. Look, I think he's did awesome. He's going to continue to do great things for this team. And I think it's going to be really, really fun to see him as a top 4 defenseman for us. And then the second one, the Wild this year is going to have 2 40-goal scorers. You're not going to be surprised by the first one. It's going to be Kirill Kaprizov. The second one, Matt Boldy. Matt Boldy's been continuing to get better. I think he has improved his goal-scoring ability from 3 seasons ago to 2 seasons ago, and then again two seasons ago to last season. And I think he's going to take another big step as Minnesota, I think, is going to heavily rely on these first 2 lines. I think if Kirill and Matt Zuccarello didn't have such an amazing chemistry on the ice, there would be a case for Boldy to be up on first line. And truthfully, if Zuccarello ever gets, you know, hurt or anything like that, I think Boldy would be one of the first names you'd have to look at to bring up on that first line. And it's going to be a fun season. I see both of them I see both of them scoring 40 goals, and I think it's going to be a fun offensive season. Third prediction, I think Gustavsson is going to hit 30 wins. He earned a 3-year contract extension this past July after his emergence as a composed, capable starter last season. The 25-year-old Swede finished with a 22-9-7 record with a .931 save percentage while stopping 24.54 goals above expected. I think Gustafsson and Fleury and goal should be a strength for Minnesota this upcoming season, but I think this year we're going to see Gustafsson have more of a higher workload, with Gustafsson being more of a 1A and 1A and Marc-Andre Fleury being more of a 1C, which is why I think he's going to record 30 wins, something only 9 goalies did last year. The only thing not in his favor is that he isn't dependent on as much because of the Wild's 1-2 punch, but I think we will play him more like a 1A and Marc-Andre Fleury as a 1C instead of 1A and 1B. So those are the first three. I think the Wild's three young guns are going to hit career highs. We're returning with familiar team this season. We'll need their three young stars and everything like that. Rossi. I think Rossi is finally going to crack the roster and move up the depth chart, and I think he hits 40 points this season. You know, whether he is proves to be ready to be a full-time NHLer is one of the major questions this season, where we lack a little bit of depth down the middle. From all accounts, though, Rossi's put the work in, and that started before this summer. Rossi scored 16 goals and 51 points with the Iowa Wild last season after getting sent down back in November. I think he's poised to make the team out of training camp again this fall and should get an opportunity in the top six role this season at some point. That will likely be with Kirill Mazzuccarello, unless the Wild decide to break up the whole Johansson, Eriksson, Ek, Matt Boldy line. I think while having Rossi, who has the tools to be a productive top six center, I think hitting 40 points this upcoming season may be one of the bolder predictions. But I think he regained some confidence in Iowa, and he looks like a player in the preseason ready to take that next step. And then one other kind of prediction I kind of came up for you guys. It's a little less exhilarating. I think at least two of our big three pending unrestricted free agents will re-sign. I think it makes for an interesting storyline for two reasons. I think while Patrick Maroon was Minnesota's lone off-season addition, this group is looking for their next contract, should be extra motivated, which should give the Wild an extra boost. And on top of that, the salary cap is expected to rise for the 24-25 season, which is going to be a help for the Wild because we are subject to about $14.75 million in dead cap last year in the final year of the big buyouts for Parisi. So, you know, it'll all come down to, you know, some of these guys. And, you know, hopefully we're hoping to have them back. And like I said, I think the big thing for next season, being the last season in cap hell, it'll be nice to see the salary cap go up so that we do have some money to work with before really being able to do what Bill Guerin and what we really want to do. What we want. Don't get it wrong. I think after the 24-25 season, we still have three more years of paying both those guys, but it's like $500,000 instead of millions of dollars. So it's next to nothing. So we'll be able to have a lot more because, I mean, what I just said it, this season will be the second or third year, no, the third year that we have to pay the two of them a combined $14.75 mil, which is crazy, but, yeah, so that's what I have for you guys. I think the Wild are going to have, a good season, you know, just like, you know, a lot of things, you know, especially in hockey, it's a matter of, you know, staying healthy and getting production. I think the Wild, you know, have a lot of really good talent. You know, we have, you know, I think you look at this team and I think, you know, you look up and down the roster, I think you got seven or eight, you know, quality defensemen that are capable of, you know, playing every single night. Unfortunately, only six can. And then, you know, you talk about us relying on, you know, top six players. But I think back to last season when we relied on guys like Dewar, Duhaime, and some of those third or fourth line guys that maybe didn't get a ton of ice time, and they just balled out, you know, killing penalties. Excuse me. Getting shorthanded goals, kind of doing those extra things for us. So it should be a really fun season. Can't wait to see it go underway. And then, yeah, like I said, excuse me, I know we've gone over it a couple times for you guys, but those that maybe don't know or want a reminder, the first couple games for the Wild, the first one will get underway Thursday on the 12th at 7 p.m. when we host the Florida Panthers. After that, we will hit the road for a two-game road trip. We will be in Toronto on Saturday, October 14th at 6 p.m., and then in Montreal Tuesday, October 17th at 6 p.m. as well, before coming back home to take on the Los Angeles Kings, excuse me, at 7 p.m. on Thursday, October 19th. So that is what I have for you guys tonight. For the 2023-2024 season preview slash predictions, let me know what you guys think. Let me know if you agree, disagree with anything that we said, and we will get you guys here on Wednesday with the normal podcast. Till next time, Minnie.